I'm going to call this meeting back to order.
So we already did the flag salute because we started at 4 o'clock for flag salute and then went into closed session. So we're going to just get started right away. So I'm going to tell you, we only have one item on the agenda, and I'm going to go through the process, and then we're going to get started. So the Wheatland School Board has a board seat vacancy due to the resignation of a sitting board member. There are two options to fill a vacancy, and one was to the board opens the position to all applicants through an interview process, and the board makes a provisional appointment to fill the vacancy until the next scheduled election, which is November 2026. The other option is to hold a special election. I did reach out to the county because I was asked to at the last board meeting. The cost of the special election has to be borne by the school district, and it can cost anywhere from $70,000 to $90,000. At the August 14th board meeting, the Wheatland School Board unanimously chose to do the provisional appointment, which would bring us here tonight. On the 15th, we put out application to open board seats to the community. This was sent out via the district website, Facebook posting, and postings at the school sites, as well as one at the post office. The deadline for applications to be turned in was 3 o'clock on August 22nd. The following community members have applied for the position: Austin Bishop, up here in front. They're all in front. Taryn Capps, Justin Hall, and Josh Luce. And I did it in alphabetical order, not when they turned it in. The Wheatland School Board will be interviewing these four candidates tonight. The individual selected by the board will serve until November 2026 election, at which time the position will be put on the ballot for a two-year term. We will also have three other board positions on that election. So we will have four openings. Three of them that will be for four-year terms, and the one will be for a two-year term. By September 7th, the district will post the provisional appointment in three public places in the district and on the district website. We will post at Bear River School, Wheatland Elementary School, and the U.S. Post Office. The board will be asking the questions, not the public, so thank you for being here, but zip it.
But shh, right, Taylor? Right, Taylor?
Yeah, this is the board asking the questions, and then for the nominees or the applicants, please keep your answers concise and try to be within about 1 to 2 minutes, otherwise we could be here till midnight. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Board President Steinman, and she will begin with asking questions. Just for the audience's understanding, the board has 16 questions they're going to ask. They're going to rotate who asks them. And they're also going to rotate the answer in which, or the person that answers. So it's going to start with Austin, and then Taryn, and then Justin, and then Josh will answer the first question in that order. And then the next one, Taryn will go first, and the next one, Justin will go first. So everybody gets a chance to go through the order. And each of them have been decided on questions. And so with that, we can get started.
You guys ready?
Well, welcome. Thank you for your applications and for being here. Definitely. And going through this process, we appreciate it.
Very much so. Thank you guys all for being here. Thanks. So question number one, why are you interested or what motivates you to serve on a school board? And what qualifications make you a strong candidate? Austin, you're first.
Thank you so much for letting me go first.
That's what happens you're at the beginning of the alphabet.
So what happens when your last name is Bishop at the beginning of the alphabet.
I guess it's also a time thing as well. Last year I ran for school board, and just with the desire to be a voice and to be able to have an influence for good in our school community, through that campaign I learned so much. tours of Bear River and kind of asking questions as to why we do things a certain way. I found it very interesting. I've been serving on the Bear River Site Council for the last year, and so that's been interesting, learning about the plans that get put forth and into the schools for the kids. And I've attended other meetings just trying to kind of encompass myself about, like, with all these different processes. There's the ELAC and DLAC meeting, which is for the Spanish families, and I found that meeting very, very enlightening and very enjoyable, just being a part of problem solving for the communities and the people in our schools. So yeah, I'm excited to go at it again.
What interests me and motivates me is first and foremost the need. It's an important role within our community. And my family's in this district. My wife is in the district. My kids are in the district, so when the school district does well, my family does well. And I think when families do well, the community does well. So I want to be a part of that. As far as qualifications, I'm experienced serving on boards, but throughout my professional career, I've worked in various teams and had to make decisions that affected all the people.
Thank you also. I'm 2 years new here to this area. I really have wanted to see what I could do to try to help out and try to benefit myself, the school board, the schools, the neighborhoods, and my family, and try to be better within the neighborhood to help out. I really want to ensure the education of the kids, and I've never done that before. I have sat on numerous boards with numerous different council members from my previous experience. This would be something new to me, but I look forward to the attempt to work together cohesively with a school board and to further the education of children, as I also have, like everyone up here, I believe, has students inside the school district. My wife also does work within the school district. And it's something that I want to interject myself to try to be better as a part of the school board.
Thank you all very much.
My turn. Okay, so a couple of you have already answered it, but our question is, do you have children in the district and or a relative that is employed in the district? If so, what are your students' grades and what does your relative do if they do work in the district? Taryn, you are first.
Yes, I do have kids in the district. 5 of my 6 children are in the district now. My oldest is now in high school. But I have a 8th grader, I have a 6th grader, I have a 5th grader, I have a 3rd grader, and I have a 1st grader. So just about the whole span. So very invested, know a lot of the teachers through the years, and whatnot. My husband does not work for the district, though. So.
Yeah, and I do have 2 children in the district right now. I've got an 8th grader at Bear River and a 1st grader at the elementary school. And we'll have another one starting TK next year. And then my wife is a 2nd grade teacher.
I have one daughter that just left the district and just started her freshman year over at Wheatland High. My other daughter just went over to Bear River. She's in the 4th grade now. They're here supporting me today in the back row. My wife should be coming in here shortly. She's trying to get out of work. She is in charge of the after school program at Wheatland Elementary School.
I have 2 daughters still in the district. My oldest graduated 8th grade last year. Carmen is in 7th grade, and Charlie's in 6th grade. And I also have a soon-to-be stepson in 3rd grade at the start of the middle of 3rd grade. So, I've had kids in the district for a long time as well. Still going through it.
Any relatives in the district? Working?
No, I have no relatives.
Working.
Okay, in your view, what are the characteristics of an effective school board, and what are the characteristics of an effective school board member? Justin.
I think the characteristics of an effective school board is that you need to work well as a team, there's going to be a lot of connection, and you've got to be a strong unit. I think you've got to keep what's first things first, and that's the well-being of the
not to copy off Justin, but that is, in my opinion, all boards. You need to work cohesively. There can't be any sort of splinter cell, can't have any sort of disagreements in public. If there's any sort of adversity within the board, it needs to be in private, behind closed doors. That way the unified front comes out so they can stand together and make sure that the best interest is being done for the school district and the children. The characteristics of an effective board member would definitely be someone that has the ability to actively listen. A lot of times board members like to talk. A lot of times in the boards that I've served, we've really had to, and it was normally my role, to make sure that we kept everyone on the straight and narrow, to keep at task of what we are discussing, and trying to make sure everyone stays together on those topics.
The way I view it is, I do think it's important to stay publicly as a cohesive front, but also to think individually, to think on your own, and to see the things through your own eyes. You're electing or nominating one of us because of our unique perception of how things are going on, not because you think that we'll think like you. And so I think it is important to stay united, but also think individually. The other thing is, I think an effective board member is somebody who lets the people, that are employed by the school district do the job. I'll never know what Craig knows, and I won't try to outsmart him on anything. I'm more here to listen and learn and give my expertise as I see fit.
Being last, I feel like there's a lot of repetition that's just going to happen, but I agree with a lot of what's already been said. But I think for a board to be effective, I think they need to be well-informed. And that's two ways. That's like through training, like knowing what their job is and what their position is and what their responsibilities are and where their scope of reach is, as well as the other side, being informed by the people of the district, the staff, the students, the families, all of that. So having all that information gives them what they can pull from to make the decisions that come their way that they have to make. I'd agree with the being able to think our own thoughts. I think it's important for a board to be able to discuss differing ideas, to be able to work through that, talk through that, and be able to come to a common decision through all of that discussion. It doesn't mean it has to be my way or your way. Maybe there's a third way that we can come to, and I think that's the beauty of a board, is that you can bring those different ideas and come up with something great together. I think that an effective board member then following on that is someone who's a good listener, who's open to hearing what others have to say, and taking that into consideration as they are building their opinion and their thoughts on what should happen. And so being a critical thinker, being able to take something and think about, wow, how does this benefit us? What are the risks here? How can we work around that? How can we pull our two different ideas together? I think those things would make that board strong.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. What do you believe are the expectations and responsibilities of a school board member? Josh?
Definitely honesty and integrity. In my opinion, the school board is the highest level of public official until you get into actual politics. So it's very nice to be able to practice honesty and integrity without having to deal with a political aspect or career behind you. So being able to, like I said before, a cohesive front and unified board would be able to be a great thing for this community.
I would say resolving concerns. They're going to be the ones that people come to when there's an issue. But I think they've set a big part of the foundation. They set that vision and that spirit for the district. They decide What is this overarching umbrella that we want to have with our schools? And so by being the ones who set that vision and giving that to their schools and the leadership and the administration, they kind of set that tone for the whole district.
I'm wasting a meeting here. How can the board remain focused on student learning while addressing the many other issues that arise?
The thing that came to my mind was that with all those issues that come in, that will come in onto your plate, is to look at that and think, how does this impact our student learning? And so having that be a factor as you're resolving these different issues, you think of how does it impact their learning, and so that continually plays a part in all the decision making when it's issues that aren't directly, obviously, like curriculum and whatnot. But to always consider how it does impact the students through all the different directions.
I feel like a broken record, but right? You just gotta kind of keep it. The main thing, and it's the students and the quality of education and being a safe place for them. I think that's the main focus, and the other smaller stuff is going to be able to be taken care of. Similar to what Austin said, you want to triage these issues and
Ditto.
No, it doesn't count.
With the industry that I've been working in for the last 20 years, it's been nonstop every day, fire here, fire there. But being able to prioritize and being able to set possible committee chairs for different issues, working together in smaller groups, to be able to bring them to one big table, and then we can decide what happens. Some things need to be addressed immediately, like Austin said, and other things, and my other colleagues said, but other things they can slowly be worked on. As long as we're getting to them in a timely manner is how we're going to get it done.
Finish writing my notes in a minute. Okay. What are the three most important priorities you would like to accomplish as a trustee, and why?
Things that stand strongest in my mind is planning for our superintendent has mentioned that he plans to retire in the next few years. Planning for a smooth transition with that I've never been there with the transition of a superintendent, but I assume that's a big switch, and so I think that requires a lot of planning and forethought as you gradually move and prepare for that switchover, as well as planning for the growth of our community. We know right now our schools are like at capacity, and so there's going to be future growth. So I think really getting some specified plans that have timelines and kind of milestones where we reach this point, we need to start putting in act these certain things to get those kinds of plans set up so that, again, we don't find ourselves in a crisis situation. We can gracefully move through the growth in our community and accept the growth in our community. The third thing that stands out is just something that's important to me in life is just efficiency. Resources are getting tighter constantly, and so just making sure that we're using those resources as efficiently and as wisely as possible would be like very high in my mind if I was on board.
Yeah, I think for me, the first one is trust, building trust with the board, building trust with the community, letting them learn who I am, why I feel I'm a good fit for the role, and then learning, continuing, you know, head coach is completely new to me, you know, as Austin mentioned, I don't know what Craig knows, I don't know what the teachers know, so just being in that position and that posture of learning and being able to know how to make the best decisions, and then, yeah, I think future growth, just looking at the infrastructure of the schools, what we're able to currently take in, looking at the growth of the community and how that can be expanded to the future.
Number three and
number four.
Definitely with infrastructure concerns. We face some serious infrastructure concerns here with the city of Wheatland. There are a lot of big things that are coming down the pipeline, and we need to make sure that the board is, or the school board is on board with making sure their voices are heard within the community because of everything that is rapidly moving right now. Like with the capacity concerns of the schools, we also have water and sewage concerns just for the city of Wheatland that are being looked at and developed right this second. So we really need to be on board to get our voices out there to make sure we are part of these conversations.
I just wrote a few things. First is I need to be accessible to both the teachers, staff, the community, anybody who might need me as a board member. Second is I need to educate myself, so as issues arise, I need to learn the issues. And for the third thing is so I can make sound decisions and think individually, but also as a group.
I might get all the long ones. Okay. Think of a recent board decision that you felt strongly about. How would you balance community concerns, student needs, state and federal law, staff perspectives, and your personal values in deciding how to vote?
Oh, easy question, Ranger. Yeah.
They have them in front of them, thank goodness, so they can repeat back.
Yeah, I think I do have to admit my ignorance on recent board decisions as far as specific things that have been voted on. One low-hanging fruit I can't think of is the push around the time of COVID. The decisions that were made, I thought the board did a good job of balancing all the health concerns of getting kids back to school in a timely fashion. That wasn't easy. As far as balancing community concerns and student needs with personal views and deciding how to vote, what is best for the students, what's best for the staff, and taking through those things. And I think there are certain things that are, you would think, are pretty close to objectively right or wrong, and I don't want to violate my values and voting on issues like that, but there's going to be many things, related to budget and all of those kinds of things where maybe I personally think something should be spent this way or that way. Just that's where the collective unit of a plurality of board members comes into play, and being able to pick people's brains and figure out why we're making certain decisions. And so just being open and willing to work as a team.
You said what's best for students and staff. Is that the order in which you think that's most important?
I do, yeah. Okay. Students come first.
Thank you.
With being new here, with the first one, I'm kind of not really able to address. With the second one, how would you balance community concerns, student needs, state and federal law? For the last 20 years, I've been interpreting, writing, reading, and enforcing state, federal, and local law within the districts that I'm working in. Also writing local law for my previous employment that I was with. Personal values in deciding how to vote. I really stand firm with a strong common sense approach and very strong traditional family values is where I push my vote. It would weigh heavy on me.
I also am struggling with the recent board decision. One of the last board meetings I attended was I came to admittedly kind of watch the show.
Everybody's given great answers so far. The board decision that came to my mind that I have felt strongly about was regarding the unification process and that study. I felt very interested in that and very obviously strongly to be as informed as I possibly could and in making my decision of what I thought should go forth. I agree with the decision that the board made. To put that out there, like I agree with that as a decision, and I think to kind of taking that situation as I took into account that rest of the question is how to balance everything. I think it's a constant learning, first of all, with any decision you have to make, a learning of the laws and the policies and all of that. Like that's got to be a continual process to take that information and have it. So that you can draw from it when issues arise. But I think with the unification, a big part that I thought strongly about was getting that updated information, like having that study, because as far as I understand, the previous information we were drawing from was 15 or 20 years old, something like that, was the last time that study was done. And I think with the community's concern over, like at least the community's strong voice that they wanted to unify, I think getting that updated information was the key to be able to talk with them about how it would impact our community with numbers that that are applicable now. And I thought that was a huge thing. So just to have that updated data that you can talk with the community about and help them be informed as to the situation and what's going on. And those people who did that situation knew all the legal ins and outs and could explain all that, which was helpful with balancing that. But really it does come down to how our students and making this is about their education and about their futures. And so, but I think, so getting their voice, the staff's voice, getting all that data and all that coming together to make that decision.
Thank you.
If approached by a parent, staff member, or community member in an informal setting, such as the grocery store, trust me, it'll happen, regarding a controversial issue, how would you handle that conversation?
Definitely with open ears, empathy, and a slight bit of customer service, because we're here at the will of the general public. We need to make sure that we're protecting the children and our board and our school.
Right in line, first off, is just to hear them, listen to what they have to say, asking questions so that you know you understand their perspective and what feeds into that. And if I don't know an answer to what they're saying, then I will tell them that. I'm not sure. I haven't heard about this issue, but I will get more information and I will come back to you and follow up with you on that, and then go and find that primary source information to be able to come back to them and give them a meaningful, true response.
Yeah, same thing.
So you feel once you get that question and you bring it to the board for further conversation amongst everybody, then once you get that question or whatever, just to clarify.
Yes.
How do you respond to criticism, particularly from anonymous online posts or social media that tend to avoid the facts?
I don't know if you've heard this is talking about our traffic.